Today's reading is Luke chapter 12 from verse 22. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also."
Rachel, thank you very much for reading. Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. Welcome to St. Nick's. For those I've not met before, my name's Tom, and it's great to have you with us here this morning. Now, our subject for this morning, you'll have noticed from our verses, is the issue of verse 22, anxiety. That is, living free from worry, or free from fear, not being apprehensive. Our subject is verse 22, anxiety. And it is a timely subject, isn't it, for a church based in this city, because the city life is a life that is marked by worry. It is one that's marked by fear, we might think. It feels unstable and pressurized and hurried. The city life is one that's marked by worry. The latest research I could find on this suggested that between 2019 and 2021, which is a couple of years ago now, but not that long ago, there was a 55% increase in city workers being referred to mental health professionals. The city life, it is one that is marked by worry. Again, across the last year, I'm told it rose by 22%. The city life is one that is defined by worry, anxiety. And indeed, there is much to make us worried, isn't there? There's a cost of living crisis. There's a climate crisis and spiraling inflation with its impact on our interest rates, our mortgage payments, rental, the threats to jobs, all the strikes going on across the nation. And for those working in the city, there is a lot that could make us worried, that could make us anxious, make us fearful, or provoke apprehension. There's lots to make us nervous, make us tense, put us on edge, make us feel fretful. And we will all know the feeling of the sweaty palms and those heart palpitations. And yet the thing is, for the Christian, there's even more to make us worried than the city job and the spiraling inflation. Because you see, added to those worries, there is, well, gospel opposition. There's the looming threat of Christian persecution. If you're with us a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember that Jesus has actually already alluded to that. Just have a look down at chapter 12 and verse 11. Okay, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago with Chris. Chapter 12, verse 11. Jesus says, "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say." Do you see the point? Followers of Jesus are going to be met by opposition. There will be hostility from every kind of religious or secular institution. There will be pushback, we're told. In the office, there will be hatred sometimes and persecution. The Christian life is marked by opposition. And when the heat is turned up, of course, and there is opposition, well, it's easy just to sort of lie low, isn't it, as a Christian? It's easy to try and protect ourselves, to be silenced by opposition. It's very easy, in effect, to become a secret Christian. Well, this morning, as Chris has said, we're continuing our series in Luke's Gospel. And you'll know if you've been with us these last few weeks that we are following along Jesus on his mission. Jesus, we know, is heading to Jerusalem to suffer for his people. And as readers, we're becoming increasingly clear on his mission. The Son of Man, we're about to be told, came to seek and to save the lost. But so too, Jesus has been telling us that we now have a mission to seek his kingdom, to spread his word, to grow his kingdom. And so too, he's been telling us to focus on that kingdom, live for then, not now, to go all in for that kingdom. In fact, that's where we ended last week, isn't it? Verse 21, do you remember that? So it is, says Jesus, having told them this parable, with the one who lays up treasure for himself, we might say, on earth, and is not rich towards God. Oh, the person, says Jesus, who's tied up in this world and not the kingdom, the person who thinks life is about possessions, well, that person is a fool, says Christ, and there'll be retribution. So be rich to God, he says. Invest in him and invest in his kingdom. But how am I to do that in a world that's full of worries? How is it possible to be rich towards God and his kingdom? Or how can I actually persuade myself to go all in for his kingdom? After all, the world, it's just so much is uncertain, inflation and so on. And that is Jesus' subject in those verses we've had read for us this morning. Oh, consider first, says Jesus, all of the ravens, the birds. Consider next, he says, the lilies. And then he says, thirdly, get on and seek the kingdom. And as you do that, you are going to discover God's abundant provision. And that then is the outline that you should find down there on the back of the handout. Jesus this morning wants us to be people who seek his kingdom, who are undistracted. He wants to take our worries, if you like, and help us to trust in God. He wants us to be all in for the kingdom. And so that's what we're thinking about. Point one, consider the ravens. Just have a look down again at verse 22. Verse 22. And he, that is Jesus, said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Verse 24, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So the first thing then Jesus says to do is to consider, verse 24, the ravens. Just think for a moment, says Jesus here, about the birds. And notice God's provision for them. Just think about how God provides food for them. And they, verse 24, are simply birds. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it, what he says down there in verse 24. He says, look, they don't unionize, ravens. They don't build massive storerooms. They don't have great career plans, these birds. Emily's granny has just put a bird table outside the window of her kitchen, and you can sit there all day if you want, watching the birds. But they don't come to visit their union representative. They don't have any sort of personal development seminars. No, they just do the sort of things that birds do. They fly about, but God provides for them. He feeds the birds. And it's hard not to get Jesus' point here, isn't it? Ravens, in verse 24, were known as unclean animals. They were detestable, Leviticus 11 tells us, among the birds. They were transmitters of diseases. Think of bats or think of badgers if you're watching Clarkson's Farm. These were the least important, the most unpleasant birds. And yet the Lord provides for them, says Jesus. He even feeds the ravens. And if the Lord provides for unclean birds, well, of course, says Jesus, he'll give you food to eat. Because you're worth more than the ravens. We are more valuable, verse 24, than the birds. And I think it's worth just really trying to get our heads around this morning. I was chatting a little while ago, for one reason or another, to a guy who, his job is as a behavioral psychologist, and he introduced me to this idea of catastrophic thinking, or catastrophizing, which you may have come across. And as far as I understand it, he's talking there basically about the spiral that all of us are tempted to get into in our minds when things just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So we've already mentioned the curry night, haven't we? But we think, you know, if I give out this flyer, okay, and if I don't get my words right, and then if someone twists or someone misrepresents my words, then I guess I'm going to be disciplined. And I'll probably have to leave the office. I'm going to be made redundant. And then it'll get even worse. I'll end up eating out of the bins from Pret a Manger. I'll be deported to Rwanda. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse, we think. Now, you don't need me to tell you, okay, that probably is not going to happen. If you give out a flyer to the curry night, you will probably get away with some slightly clumsy words, okay, even if you fudge it, get it wrong. More likely is just that it's a bit awkward, or it feels to you a bit awkward in the office. I mean, being bold for Christ inevitably hurts. Rico Tice, who's written a great book on evangelism that we have on our bookstall, talks about having to go through the pain barrier in evangelism. If you are bold for Christ, it will inevitably hurt. But even if you lost your job, says Jesus, even if you were kicked out of your office, even if you were made redundant, or even worse, even if they deported you to Wales, the Lord would still provide for you. Because in Christ, you are one of his children. And it is obvious that God's children matter more than the birds. Verse 24, of how much more value are you? Verse 25 makes the point a bit more plainly, doesn't it? And which of you, asked Jesus, by being anxious, can add even a single hour to his span of life? If then you're not able to do as small a thing as this, why are you worried about the rest? It's totally pointless being anxious, says Jesus. It doesn't make a difference. Just think, verse 24, about the birds. It's a waste of time, he says, anxiety. It is a waste of time and resources. Just think, verse 24, think about the birds. But then, of course, you'll have noticed Jesus moves us on and he gives us a second illustration. He says, secondly, look, don't just think about the birds. No, secondly, note the lilies. Think about the flowers, the poppies, the lilies, and just think about how God provides for the natural world. And we're on now to the second heading down there on the sheet, verse 27. Consider the lilies, says Jesus, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, but tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, you'll see that I've brought with me a bunch of what I anticipated being beautiful white lilies, okay, to help us put into practice Jesus' words. Currently, we are considering the fact that the lilies haven't come out, but I promise you, I came in especially early on Wednesday morning to purchase these lilies, and they haven't come out 5 days later, so there we are, trust in the Lord's provision. But think about these flowers, okay, says Jesus, think about the lilies, and think, verse 27, how they grow. Now, those of you who know me won't be surprised to hear that I was that guy who always fainted in biology, okay? So, you know, dissecting dead rats, I fainted. Dissecting plants, I fainted. So, in writing this talk, it occurred to me that I don't actually know how the lilies grow, but I do know someone who knows how the lilies grow, and that is Professor Richard Buggs, who came to do our guest event a few weeks ago. He's the senior research leader over at Kew, and I sent him an email this week and asked, how do the lilies grow? And he sent me this rather splendid reply. Let me read some of it to you. Hi, Tom. How a herbaceous plant grows is incredibly complicated, which I think means you're not going to understand it. But anyway, okay. Information encoded in DNA is translated into RNA, whatever on earth that is, in response to environmental cues in an incredibly precise way. The RNA is translated into protein sequences that catalyze biochemical reactions to make the molecular building blocks of the plant. Anyone still with me? And then they're put together into different cells to make leaves, stems, and the intricate parts of the flower. This is all governed by complex signaling pathways, including hormones. All, of course, is solar powered, using highly efficient biodegradable systems. It's far more complicated than making a mobile phone. Well, just think about the lilies, says Jesus. Think for a moment about the flowers. And consider verse 27, how God makes them grow. And then look at them in their glory. Don't look at these flowers in their glory. They're not in their glory yet. But look at flowers generally in their glory. How God clothes even flowers, which are here for a short time, but tomorrow they're just going to be thrown out, aren't they? Verse 28, Tom Wright pointed out to me something that I hadn't noticed, which is that it's actually the grass that is being clothed here. Did you spot that? But the point's the same. The grass is here today, but tomorrow it's going to be mown. It's amazing that God provides it with daffodils and lilies and everything to give it color. If God clothes grass with flowers, grass which is here today and gone tomorrow, if God looks after the flowers and makes them grow, well, of course he's going to look after us. Isn't he? He will give us clothes to keep us warm. He will keep us going until he calls us home. And actually, it's probably worth pausing just here to consider the precise nature of this promise. You'll hear I put it deliberately a moment ago. He will give us all we need until he calls us home. That is, the promise is that God will give us our necessities, everything we need to live on. But one day he is going to call us home. I mean, just think about the lilies. They don't last forever. Think about the birds. They die one day. God is promising to give us all we need until the day he calls us home. One commentator puts it like this. As long as it is necessary for God to have us work in his world, to learn the principles of the kingdom, and to work for the kingdom's extension, so long does God undertake that we shall have the food and the clothes necessary for the course. Do you get the point? God is going to give us all that we need until the day he calls us home. And knowing all that, says Jesus, we should seek, point three now, the kingdom. We should know Jesus and seek to make him known. If you were with us at our partners event earlier this week, you'll remember that that's sort of our slogan at St. Nick's. We should labor for God's kingdom, says Jesus. We should labor to expand the kingdom. We should use our capital, our resources, our time, our gifts, etc., to know Jesus and to make him known. Verse 29. Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, says Jesus. Nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Verse 31, instead seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, the irony of worrying about our daily kind of provisions, the irony of fretting about food, drink, or clothes, is that we have a Father God who has our back in heaven, a God who cares for us, and every single one of our needs, he knows. So he knows that we need food and drink, says Jesus. He knows that we need, verse 30, clothing. Do we need a job? Well, our Heavenly Father knows. And if we seek his kingdom first, if we labor, give our all for his kingdom, if we work as hard as we possibly can to know Jesus and to make him known, he'll give us all the things we need, says Jesus, the very things that worry us. He'll give us food and drink. He'll give us clothes. Verse 32 has got some familiar logic in it, hasn't it? He's given you the kingdom, says Jesus. He's given you his promised kingdom. He's saved you. He's called you as his own. Of course he's going to provide for you as you seek first his kingdom. You don't need to be worried. You're not doing life alone. He who did not spare his own son, Romans 8. How will he not along with him graciously give us all things? And I just love how Jesus ends here. Don't you, verse 33? Sell all your possessions. Give to the needy. Struggling with this idea of living for heaven, says Jesus. Struggling to focus on that kingdom. Struggling to be rich towards God, to, you know, really try and make him known. Or are you tempted to be worldly, perhaps? To live for now and not for heaven? Are you just a bit complacent about making Jesus known? Well, write, he says, a massive check. Give away all your possessions. Give your stuff to God, and your concern for the kingdom will grow. For where you put your treasure, verse 34, there your heart will inevitably also. Just do something, says Jesus, and your affections will grow. Verse 33, sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that doesn't fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Now, as we close, I want to acknowledge that there is, of course, more to anxiety than this morning I've had either the time or the expertise to show. And for some, anxiety is going to be a medical problem, and medical things always have medical solutions. And if you think you're in that category and you've never spoken to a medical professional about your anxiety, I'd really encourage you to do so. I think, especially perhaps, if you have physical symptoms, panic attacks, heart palpitations, that sort of thing, that control your thoughts and your feelings. If you are in that category, I'd really encourage you to go and speak to a doctor or something like that. And I also want to acknowledge that there are people here with worries, the like of which I can simply never know. And I've been really conscious of people like that as I've been preparing this talk this week. There are people who are suffering and people who have worries that I can simply never know. And I hope you don't think I've patronized you this morning. But I hope this gives us all a helpful guide of the kind of things that we ought to be thinking when a clear head enables us to do so. Just think about the lilies, says Jesus, and think about the ravens. God provides for them, and he's promised for us that he will do so. Verse 24, of how much more value are you than the birds? Verse 28, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And I guess that I hope for all of us, this should free us from the worries which prohibit us from making Jesus known, from being a bit bolder in our workplace. The worries that keep us from speaking of the kingdom, using our time and our wealth and our resources in the cause of Christ in order to make the kingdom grow. J.C. Ryle, the 19th century Puritan bishop, famously said, "Nothing is so common as a careful, troubled spirit, and nothing so mars a believer's usefulness." And he's right, isn't he? The worries of this world, how to keep my job, climb the career ladder, and so on, so often those are the things that stop us from making Jesus known, that hold us back from being bolder, using more of our abundant resources for the cause of Christ, for making Jesus known. And yet Jesus here says, seek the kingdom, give your all to God, the kingdom, use everything you have to make the gospel known. And trust the Lord's provision. Trust your Father God's provision. Every need you have, your Heavenly Father knows. Verse 30, all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows you need them. You see, there's more to life than clothing, says Jesus. And there's more to life than eating. Life is given that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ and make him known. And if we seek his kingdom, he promises, then we will each know God's abundant provision. Why not give out a flyer this week? Why not be bolder in making Jesus known? Let me pray. Father, we confess to you that we are people who are so easily sidetracked from our mission by worldly worries. And we know that sometimes those are small worries that shouldn't really worry us at all, but often we know they are substantial worries about big things in life. And so we bring them before you this morning, Father, and we ask that you would help us to keep them in perspective. And we ask that you'd pray us to really be assured that you are the God who cares for us and will give us all that we need. Thank you so much for these illustrations from the natural world, the birds, the flowers. Thank you that you care for them and make them grow. Please give us renewed confidence that you are the God who will give us all that we need. Please would you help us this week to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. Amen.